All right. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We have two blessed guests with us. We've known for, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Probably long time. The Lord is great. This past week we had our annual convocation, and always a blessing, but it was a special blessing this year for me.
Amen.
But I think for everybody. Amen. And we had a lot of our faithful pass away this year, and so we did kind of celebrate the fact that we were blessed, and especially blessed. I would say our fellowship is unique in the American scene. Not that we're the only ones that have believers, but I believe our words and our fellowship is more accurate and more dedicated to doing whatever it is as a whole group to what God wants on the face of the earth today.
Amen.
And so Bill and Mary have been faithful for umpteen years. Probably when you were 4 or 5, you joined.
Six.
Yeah.
Just say we're seasoned women and men.
Yeah, right.
Get into the age here.
So, it's good. And we just have always been blessed by not only the fellowship, but by Bill and Mary in particular. So we thank you that you have been faithful all these years to not share words, but to share yourselves, to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in your words and lives, and to hold the truth. Today people are, I don't know if you know, the Bible says that in the last days people will, well, their love will grow cold, and they'll fall away. And so a lot of confusion today. I like it. I totally love it. I like confusion. Because God is going to give Satan his day. He's going to have his time. And that's God's will. God told us about it. So it's okay. Antichrist is a good thing. It's not bad. As a matter of fact, he doesn't change half of his scripture to say, rejoice in the Lord always, except during the time of the Antichrist. He doesn't say that. Rejoice always means always. And so everything's going our way. As a matter of fact, the storm always precedes the dawn. You know, always a new day is coming.
Yeah,
and let the devil take what he can take. Everything that's shakable, shake it. Everything that can't be shaken, it won't.
Yeah.
So this is a good thing. This is God's cleanup thing.
Amen.
To get everybody that's a hypocrite and halfway and lukewarm and so on, just knock them out. Knock them out. They're not going to be part of the new deal. Give them a chance to think about it. It's like, you're not getting it unless you're completely spotless. How many know that we are? We are completely spotless. Not because we're completely spotless, but because He is.
Amen.
And we put all our faith in Him.
Amen.
We don't do stuff. He do it.
Amen.
And He did it. And it's done.
Amen.
It's already done. It's finished. Now, we haven't seen it, but it doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appeareth, we shall see Him like He is.
Amen.
And that's why we hope. And that hope purifies us.
Amen.
So that's what's happening right now. We're being purified. We're just knocking out all the dross. Spirit, soul, body, justified, sanctified, glorified. You know, it's just God's work. And he's already done it. I believe it was done in Jesus Christ. But I also believe it's not just imputed. It's actually at work now, down payment, Holy Spirit seal. It's working right now.
Amen.
And so we're being renewed on a daily basis. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
You know, so he's doing it. You're not doing it. You're not helping him out. You know, whenever it says yield to him or surrender and so on, that's still his work. That's really not, you're not really doing it. I hope you understand that. You're passive. You start out passive, you begin in the spirit, you're not going to end up in the flesh. Well, that's his part, this is my part. I don't believe you have a part, I'm sorry. You don't have a part where you get credit for it.
Amen.
He did it all, he did it all. That's why your part is just this. Thank you. Not thank you because you started it and we'll finish it. Thank you because you did it all. And praise you. Not only for what you did, but for what you're now doing because of who you are. And you're in us.
Yes.
And therefore, I adore you. I worship you. I love you now. That's not a work. That's a fruit of His work. That's what He sowed and we reap. We reap what He sowed.
Amen.
He already took what we sowed. And it's gone. It's gone. The law is over. So to me, this is a new day. It's a great day. It's the last day. And we're about to see Israel's full restoration.
Yes.
In our day. And I believe this fall, I've told you this as a prophet in my office, not as pastor, but as prophet, I believe something's going to happen right here in Dallas.
Yes, amen.
This fall.
We do too.
I don't think it's it's not connected to political. I don't think it's in November. I can't say God has told me, but I kind of feel it's September, October-ish, maybe more October. That's pure Jim. But I just sense it's very close. Something's about to happen in Dallas, and it's going to affect the whole United States.
Amen.
And that will affect the whole world.
Hallelujah.
And it has to do with what happened at the conference. I mean, that's just confirmation. Mm-hmm. But he told me this quite a while ago, that something's going to happen this year. I know the Mayan calendar and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God.
Amen.
Their world's going to come to an end.
Yeah.
And not ours. Ours goes on and on.
Amen.
So if you're unclean, clean up.
Yes. Amen.
I don't mean you do it. I just said you don't do it. He's going to do it. But, you know, just enjoy it. Celebrate.
Amen.
Amen. So God has it all rigged. He has it all fixed up. The best is yet to come. And I believe something big is going to happen. Huge. That would be repentance.
Yes.
That would be repentance. That would be where the church finally says, you know what? He does it all.
Yeah.
But we're not going to help him out or add to perfect. How many know you cannot add to perfect?
Yeah.
The minute you add something, you just took away. You can't add to it. And you can't take away what God has already established. If He establishes it, nobody can shake it.
Yes.
So the best has been saved to the last. So Bill and Mary, I don't know how you want to do it, but do whatever you want to do. I'll give you all the freedom that you want.
Just tag this right on you right there.
Well, that's good because I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to share a little bit.
And fine.
Thought Brother Jim was going to preach both of our sermons this morning. I said, he's full, isn't he? Can you tell he's full? Listen, let's join hands with the person next to us and stand up just a minute. I know we've already had praise and worship, but some of you may have drifted in a little bit late. And you know, in these last days, the coming together of the saints is very important.
Amen.
We draw strength from one another, don't we? And that's what we've been doing this week, drawing strength from other ministers.
Yes.
And so, Father, we lift up this group of people. As they lift their hands to God, we thirst for You, Lord God, and we hunger for You. And God, we thank You that Your presence comes and indwells us and hovers over us. And Father, we thank You for this group of people. We thank You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place today, Lord God. And we thank You, Lord, that You're going to feed us by Your Spirit. And Father, that we're going to draw strength from one another. And everybody here said, amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not usually disobedient to the Lord, but I have a confession to make. We were in the conference the other night, and you know, when they had the pause when Brother Butler was going to come speak. And I had the word from God, but because of a lot of ministers being there and me having grown up in the fellowship, kind of, I just didn't do what the Lord said for me to do. But I want to just summarize what I feel like that God's saying to the body of Christ right now. And Bill's going to tell you some more about what Brother Jim alluded to for a minute ago. Because our spiritual father, Brother Hilton Sutton, just passed away. And Bill, would you get that book out of there and let's just show it to him. And I was privileged to proof two or three of his last books. And revelation was flowing out of him, and we did not believe that it was time for him to go yet. Of course, we never do. But this was one of the books that I proofed, and Bill and I used to deal a lot in deliverance. And we thought we knew a lot about evil spirits because we dealt with a lot of them. But this revelation knowledge is in this book that is going to counter today's, what the enemy is bringing forth today. And I would recommend that you get it. I wish that we had the money to buy books. We've given a bunch of them away already. But I wish that we had enough money to give y'all all one this morning, but we don't right now. But we will. It's Familiar Spirits and Witchcraft. And I think probably if you go to their website, you'll, Bill, you put it back up. I can't tell her anymore. But I felt the Spirit of the Lord was saying to us as ministers and as people of God that we're to listen up. We're to hear what God's saying. When you come in here, you're not just coming here on Sunday morning to just feel good. You're coming in here to hear the voice of God. And God is telling us now, we're in the last days. And Brother Hilton, our father, we heard him several times tell this, but about the waves of the Spirit. And we're going to enter in. This may be what you're seeing in your spirit. We're entering into that last wave of the Spirit of God. And this is going to be the biggest wave that's ever hit mankind.
Hallelujah.
Mankind all over this earth is going to have a chance to hear about Jesus Christ and decide what they're going to do with Him. And you're deciding today what you're going to do with Jesus. Even though maybe you've accepted Jesus, been washed in the blood of Jesus, and been Spirit-filled and spoken in tongues, every day you decide, what am I going to do with Jesus today? And every person that you meet or see is a potential person for the kingdom of God. And so don't forget that. We're not here by accident. We're here on purpose because God wanted us here at this hour to do what He wanted us to do. But God's telling us to listen up. And one of the things that He spoke to me was that a new wave of His Spirit was going to sweep over this land. I believe that revival is going to hit this land. I had prayed for about, and I think I've shared this in your other congregation, and I am going to hurry. You can pull my cocktail. But don't. But I had prayed for years that Bill and I could be here when Jesus came. Have you ever watched a movie and you wanted to see the end and you got detained? I hate that. I always want to see the end. And I told God, I said, we ought to get to see the end. If we fought the battles, then we ought to see the grand finale. And I prayed that we would be here and that we would see revival in America. And God brought a man all the way from Africa to speak a word to me. He did. And He said, Mary, the thing you've prayed for, you will have, and you will see revival in America. So I believe God's going to let Bill and I live to see the coming of the Lord. I believe it's sooner than we realize. So get ready. Get ready to see the Lord. Start looking up and expecting His return. There's going to be a great and gathering of souls. And guess what? He's going to use you to gather them in. And I believe, Brother Jim, what I saw that night that Brother Butler spoke, that when this wave of the Spirit is going to be so great when it hits, that we're almost not going to be able to stand the presence of the Lord. It's going to be so heavy. Have you ever gotten in prayer and stayed in prayer an hour or two, and the presence of the Lord was so great that you didn't want to leave? You just wanted to stay right there, and you didn't want anybody to bother you, and you wanted everything else to go away. Well, I believe that we're going to come into a place when this the Spirit of God moves, that we're going to be like that. We're going to be conscious of the presence of the Lord all the time. And every person that comes past us is a potential person, perhaps, that God wants us to minister to. And one of the things that Brother Butler said, and it was part of the word that the Lord gave me, but a lot of these things will only come to pass in prayer. And He was telling us ministers and the people of God to double up on their prayer, to double up on their Bible reading. And because with every great wave of the Spirit, guess what happens? A great wave of deception comes over the land. People come in to try to imitate what God's doing. Have you seen that over the years? If you've been saved very long, you see the devil going around as a roaring lion trying to imitate or duplicate what God is doing. But guess what? He cannot. He can try, but he cannot. He can't duplicate the sweet Holy Spirit. I'm going to quit right now and give this to you. And so one of the things that we were spoken to by the ministers that was up there, they were all on this kind of on the same channel and the same word. But God is going to move on your hearts and our hearts, and He's going to send forth a call to prayer. We're all going to become intercessors. You ready to switch?
I'm at your...
I'm through. Brother Jim has told you, and we're telling you this morning, a call of prayer is coming to the land. Get ready for what God's about to do. But in this, Brother Hilton had a dream about the wave, the last wave of the Spirit, and he said that what happened, you know how when a wave comes in away from the ocean comes in, how that whatever debris is there, that wave picks it up and takes it back out. He said that in this, he saw a lot of people were not ready for what God was doing, and that wave came in and took them back out because they were not ready for what God was doing. And so I want to exhort you this morning. The Church of Jesus Christ, as we've traveled over the land, has become complacent. They've come satisfied. And I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied this morning. I'm not satisfied. I heard Jerry Savelle say in the 91st Psalm, it says, and satisfy me with long life at the end of the 91st Psalm. And he said, I'm not satisfied yet, so I'm not going home yet. So we just bless you in the name of the Lord and say, get ready. Get your expectancy up. Look to see what God is about to do. Your pastor has said it's happening in September and October. Begin to pray and to intercede that the enemy cannot deceive the people of God and cause them to become complacent and careless about their life and their walk with God. God bless you. Here you go.
Oh, I started doing a series called The Coming Apostasy. I'm in the process of writing a book on that. And it's amazing. I did the first drafts 10 years ago. I must be slow or something. I don't know just what it is. But anyhow, I got back to it and began to teach in that area. Let me give you, I don't know where you take notes or not, but if you do, let me give you some things that I see quickly. And we'll move right along. You know, there's a growing swelling of teaching in the body of Christ. Everybody wants to hear what they want to hear. They don't necessarily want to hear what the Word says, but they want to hear what they want to hear. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's several different things that within, when I finish this book, I will have dealt with from a biblical standpoint. Now, we can deal with them with what I think, but that really won't accomplish much. It might be the best opinion I know because it's mine, but your opinions are just like everybody. You know, everybody has a nose, everybody's got an opinion. But it's only what the Word says that really makes a difference in that area. And there, this body of teaching that I hear around the countryside this day and time covers several avenues. I've got seven I'm going to give you this morning. I'm not going to cover them all, or actually any of them, but I just wanted you to know these are the things that are out there. Some years ago, Mary and I, we spent 20 years in San Antonio. San Antonio was one of the hotbeds for one of these teachings. And it died down for a little bit. But you know, when error is going around, when you begin to come against it with the Word of God, it'll die down. Mary said we ministered deliverance quite a bit in the San Antonio area. I can remember very vividly, and maybe I'll write a book on that one of these days, but I remember very vividly my first experience with running into a demon-possessed person. And I knew what the Word said, but having what the Word said and put it into practical use is another story. And you have to step out there, and that's where your faith begins to operate. Either you believe what God said or you don't. And you have to go in that area. And so I had a prayer line at the church I'd started in San Antonio. First two people I prayed for was real nice. They received a prayer. The third one was kind of a mousy little lady with a high-pitched voice. I started to lay hands on her, and being a very spiritual man, I closed my eyes, hallelujah. And before my hand touched her head, a man's voice came out of her and said, don't put your hands on me. Well, there was a guy standing next to her, and I thought, well, my eyes flew open, and I learned very quickly what it meant, what the Scripture means when it said they watched and prayed. So I seldom close my eyes anymore when I'm praying for people, you know. But this little old mousy lady was, her face was all contorted, and her eyes were just demons looking back at, you know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. And frankly, it scared the gizzard out of me. And I got my best spiritual voice, and I said, I recognize you, devil, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now sit down over there, and when I get through praying for the rest of these people, I'll tend to you. Well, she sat down. She is obedient. And all the time I was going down the line praying for everybody else, I was praying she'd leave. You know, and then I wouldn't have to deal with it. And that's the spirit of a lot of preachers this day and time. If I don't deal with it, maybe it'll work itself out or it'll leave. Let me tell you something. When the devil shows up, you got to confront that sucker and hit him straight up. You know, nothing in a confrontation ever gets better by letting it alone. If it shows up, hit it. I had the privilege of working 3 years with John Hagee, and he wrote an article in his little weekly magazine one time in the 10 ways to deal with trouble. And of those 10 ways, I only remember two of them, but they work. He said, analyze it, back up 10 steps, lower your head and run over it. He's 25,000 people, so he's run over a lot of trouble. Amen?
Okay.
But now the teaching that's going around this day and time, first is dominionism, which is going on big time. And its cousin is the Kingdom Now teaching. And then the one that was so prevalent, too, that was so prevalent in San Antonio when I first went there, was the Manifested Sons of God. Now, I believe we're all going to be manifested as sons of God when Jesus is ready, amen? And we're going to stand up, but not like they teach it. And then there's a constructionist or restoration group, and all of these have a similar pattern. Number one, they don't believe in the rapture of the church. Now, if you don't believe in the rapture of the church, you can stay. I'm going. I've got a ticket, and I'm going to exercise it when it's time. And then ultimate reconciliation. And that means that everybody will soon be saved, you know. I even heard one preacher bringing this about, and he said, God will recognize that if there was fault found in the devil, it must be God's fault because he created him. And so he will forgive him. It doesn't mean he won't have to suffer a little bit, you know, and have some punishment, but he will be restored. And so I got out of there quick as I could. Then the inclusion theology that's going around this day and time, which is a spinoff of ultimate reconciliation. One of the well-known preachers in our world is Carlton Pearson, who's gone into inclusion theology. And his people were wiser than he was. He went into this, began to teach it. He went from 5,000 to 500 in a matter of weeks because the people had sense enough to recognize the error that's going on. And then the thing that's really starting to pop right now is the network of prophets and apostles. Now, let me justify some of this. I believe in apostles. I believe they're God-ordained men and women who operate in that office. And prophets, I believe there are prophets today that operate in our thing, and we desperately need them. But you don't line up a bunch of people and lay hands on them and ordain them as prophets of God. Only God can call a prophet. Only God can call an apostle. And their fruit will show that they are one or the other, or they're operating in that office. Now then, you know, I don't, how can I say this and be nice, I don't have any bone to or problem with these people who are teaching this thing, because I firmly believe that they're deceived themselves. And so there is a place that we have to come to where we take a stand on some of this stuff. It's not enough to say, well, you know, old brother so-and-so, he's a little bit off base, but he's a good old boy, you know. One guy that was into this thing real good was asked to leave his denomination. He was a denominational preacher, asked to leave his denomination because of sexual carrying on that he was doing. And he did. Went independent, same area. And then a few years ago, 8 women who worked in his offices sued him because he, his brother, and nephew were all involved with them. You see, the scripture is very explicit in that area, and I really don't have time to touch that, but I think about that. There's so much of that going on. God is not going to have sin, I believe, as Pastor was alluding to a while ago, sin in the pulpit, running rampant and leading people astray. Amen? Take your Bibles and go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and quickly I'll try to move along on this, you know. The guy I was talking to, one of the men kind of confronted one of the National Loans people who had some relationship with him. And let me, I don't mean to say that you should ostracize these people altogether in that area, but you've got to be careful who you're related to in that area. Now, folks, not all of you are preachers. I understand that. And let me say this. Everybody needs a pastor in their life. Amen. Someone who will tell them the truth, correct them when they need to, congratulate them when they need that. Most of us are standing around waiting for congratulations, but we need correction more than we need congratulations. Amen?
Amen.
We need to hear the truth and operate in it. And you have to see what is going on in that area. Now, the particular individual I'm talking about, some of the guys confronted a couple of the major people who had a similar relationship, or not a relationship, but, you know, they was going on, and they said, you know, he's an error. And they said, well, yeah, you know, he's a good old boy. Well, let me tell you something. We're passing the good old boy syndrome in church. It's going to be men and women of God who love God and who love you. You see, it's one thing to love God, but you also have to love the saints. And I don't mean to be nasty, but some of you are not very lovely. So it takes the grace of God. And a lot of preachers are not very lovely. So it takes really the grace of God for it to be a family. Amen? We have to understand that, Ed. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering, our gathering together to Him, we ask you. But not, I've got it down here, let me see, it's a little bigger. But now soon he be shaken in mind and troubled, either by the Spirit or by the Word or by the letter, as it was from us, as though the day of the Lord had come. Now, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day of the Lord will not come unless there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The basic concept here is there will be. Now, when I first began to study this 10 or 12 years ago, my whole thought, my marvelous mentality, my thought was that church attendance was going to go down to zero almost. And as I prayed and looked at this word and began to study that, and the Lord said, no, you've got that all wrong. It's terrible when God corrects you in that way. But He did. And I said, okay, explain it to me. He said, church attendance will be at an all-time high. But those who are leading them will have departed from the truth. And they lead the falling away from the truth of the gospel. Some years ago, we had the user-friendly churches develop. And a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them taught that You don't really have to repent. You just come. God knows your heart. And you don't have to repent. My Bible says you have to repent. You have to say, God, I've sinned and left the glory of God. And the Scripture says, for all have sinned and left the glory of God. So we all need to repent. But the founder of that group has now repented and apologized and said, I missed it. That's not true. But the whole problem with that kind of a situation, any error in that area, you may be leading it and you may repent, but the people you have influenced not always get the email. They don't always back off of it because it's drawing a crowd. And they want to see a crowd. You know, I don't know of a preacher anywhere that doesn't really like a lot of people coming in. It's hard to get chairs saved. It's hard to get them taught in the Word of God. But if you put somebody in there, it's an opportunity to do something in that area. But, you know, we need to understand that there is a falling away already from the Word of God and from the things that God would do in people's lives. Some years ago, and let me confirm what you said, Jim, some years ago, as we were praying, the Lord began to give us an understanding, I'll say it like that, of some things that was happening in the body of Christ. And the Scripture says that, you know, that the eagles will gather. And where have the eagles been gathering to?
Dallas,
Texas.
They've all been coming to Dallas, yeah.
You know. Steve Hill moved here, who was at the Pensacola, Florida outpouring thing. It ran 6 years and had over 1.5 million people saved. And he pulled up stakes and moved to Dallas. Benny Hinn's operation comes out of Dallas, Texas. Several others, and I don't want to take time to go to that. But God begins to gather them up, and when God does, you need to watch close. Because God is going to do something that is phenomenal. And I agree with that. That's the reason I'm staying as close to Dallas as I can. You know, God does have places where He does things. He does have places where things happen in that. And though it may be happening here, you know, people in Shreveport may not even know about it or experience it because God's anointing falls in that place. I went to Pensacola, Florida when that revival was going on. And I'm not much of a revival chaser. But I went down there because the church I was working at was going, and the pastor, I was an associate, so he wanted me to go, so I went. He went too, by the way. And it was marvelous. You know, it had to be the anointing of God because they weren't saying anything that we hadn't been saying. They really wasn't preaching anything that was so outstanding. But the anointing of God was different. You see, because God had determined to do a thing there, and He did it.
Amen.
And until man got involved in it, if man had not gotten involved in it, it'd still be going on. Let me encourage you this way. And I'm off my subject a little bit, but let me do it anyway. Can I do that?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to do it anyway, but I'd like a little approval up front. Be sure that as God begins to move in Dallas, that man doesn't put his hand to it and try to direct it. John Kilpatrick, who was the pastor there, said this. The first 2 weeks of that meeting, he was out. Not out of the church. I mean, he came to church every night, and they would pray for him first, and he was out. And when they finished the ministry, he woke up. And he said, I questioned God, why'd you do that? God said, because you would try to direct how it was happening. And I didn't want you directing it. I wanted my spirit to have free rein to direct it however it was supposed to go, and you would have stood in the way. Now he's at Mobile, and they've got the revival by the bay going on down there. And he gets up and greets them, and he's got a young man there preaching. He preaches some, and the young man preaches. And they're having all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things happen there. One more point. Now, again, I'm off my subject, but bear with me, please. The ministry's heart has to be set for what God will do. Now, what your pastor said this morning, I sense that his heart's set for whatever God wants to do.
Amen.
Thank you, wife. I've got two of you going with me right now, so I'm going to move them around, and I'll preach to them, and you just get the overflow as it passes by. Amen. But you have to be in that place of reception, because the ministry can stop it. But praise God, if we got any sense, we don't want to stop anything. I mean, hey, let's let God have His way.
Amen.
Let's let God do whatever He wants to do, you know. And as you can see right now, I've got all kinds of notes and everything here. I came to tell you about the evil that's in the land, and suddenly I'm off on this. But look, God knows what He wants to do. God knows what you need to hear. Sometimes, although I pray and study, I don't really understand all what you need. But God knows what you need. And when God begins to move in this place, in the Dallas area, wherever it be, praise God for it. Praise God for it. If He begins to move in this group, praise God for it. You know, years ago when we first got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, many years ago, we kind of looked down on everybody that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Have you spoken in tongues? Have you saw angels? Have you done all of these things, you know? And I heard one fellow say on the radio, well, it lady was calling a call-in show, you know, and she said, well, I don't speak in tongues. And he said, well, you can. She said, I don't know that I want to. He said, well, you can go ahead and be a second-class Christian if you want to be. I don't think that was really the wise thing to say to lead her, because I'm not sure she ever could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless. But when these things begin to happen, our whole thought is to give God all the glory, the praise, and the honor.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Mary alluded to the fact that Dr. Sutton passed away. He was our father in the Lord. I've had two outstanding experiences in my over 40 years of ministry, and I've had several outstanding experiences, but these two really stick in my mind. Some years ago, 20-odd years ago, I went to Mexico to do a seminar. I do not like the word seminar, by the way. That's some kind of a teaching thing you're doing. So at least that's my definition. And we were down there preaching the gospel. But I had the privilege of sitting at the feet for an hour and a half one day of a man named Axel Anderson. Most of you have never heard of Axel Anderson. Axel Anderson came to the United States 75 years ago, went to San Antonio, took a six-week course in Spanish from a couple there who'd been missionaries. Then he took his wife and four children to Mexico City to preach the Pentecostal message to the Mexicans. The first 7 years there, he sold Bibles to support his family. Now, that's got to be lean. And then things begin to happen. In his 50th anniversary of being in the nation of Mexico, they had a celebration for him, kind of talking about how wonderful he was and all that. Brother Anderson had never wrote a book, didn't have any tapes, had never appeared on television, didn't have a radio program. Yet somehow, some way, he had orchestrated developing and establishing 1,050 churches in the nation of Mexico, who most are still going on. Let me tell you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost can do more than all of these wonderful things we have to work with today. I'm not against any of them, by the way, if you use it for the gospel.
Amen.
It's been used mostly by the world, but he did that. And I listened to him talking for an hour and a half. We were visiting with him. His wife had just passed away. And in an hour and a half, I never heard that little Swede say one time, "I." He said, "God granted us. God did this. God did that." And as far as you know, he wasn't even there. I mean, you know, he didn't even bring himself into the thing at all. But he gave all the glory and the honor and the praise to God. And that's what we need to do. We need to develop that mentality where whatever good happens, God did it. And whatever bad happens, the devil did it, and we're going to get him, see. But we need to develop that. And then this last 4 or 5 months before Brother Sutton passed away, Mary and I had the privilege of coming to town at least twice a month, most of the time every week. And I'd spend a couple of hours with him, just sitting and talking, praying together and talking, and him sharing his heart with me, and some of the things he'd been through, and things like this, and I terribly miss it. You know, with the advantage that God offered me that. Mary and I are sure it wasn't his time to go. The devil stole his life. But nevertheless, God gave us the privilege of sitting with these two great men and hearing what God had done. Brother Sutton, in his mind and spirit, had reams of revelation flowing. You know, the only thing I hate is I didn't turn on the tape recorder and record all that stuff. You know, I probably could have written 3 or 4 books out of it and made a lot of money. But it's so marvelous to sit and hear what God is doing with these men and women of God. Let me encourage you with this, and I am going to stop because we're about to run out of time, but let me encourage you with this. Your pastors, and I've known them for a number of years, we won't say how long, but a while, and they have an abundance of revelation.
They do.
That you need,
yes, they do,
to dig into and begin to study and begin to really avail yourself of what God has made available to you. These two fellows have more revelation flowing in them than most people in churches of thousands. And they've got that, and you have the opportunity, saints, to take advantage of it.
Amen.
Take advantage of it. Please, for your own self, do your own self a favor. Take advantage of what God has given you, the opportunity that God has given you to hear these men share the gospel.
Thank you, Jesus.
With you. First time I came to Emmanuel, Robert Mawiri was with them then, and Robert had invited me to come over and preach. Mary and I got there a little early. Wasn't anybody there. I found out you're kind of a fluid body. And finally, the door was open, and David came in, and Mary said, they gave us we had a bulletin or something. We looked on there, and our name wasn't anywhere on there. She said, "Are you sure we came at the right time?" I opened up my book and said, that's what it says here. And a little bit, Robert and Jim came in. And I felt much better when they got there. But we've had a unique relationship over all these years. I said, Emmanuel, Fort Worth, is one of the wildest bunches I've ever seen. They've got a church in the morning and a church at night, you know, and some, you get some of them back at night that you had in the morning, but not very few. I mean, you know, very few of them come back, but you got a whole new bunch. So you can go in there and preach twice and get away with it. Amen? It's so good in that area. And you got something? She wants to add something here.
Brother Bill was talking about Brother Jim and y'all taking advantage of the of what they preach and teach, and they're some of the finest. You've got some of the finest ministers in the city of Dallas. None of those on TV hold a candle to what you're getting. Brother Brown was the founder of World Ministry Fellowship, an organization that's all over the world. And we were privileged to sit under him for 6 years, and we were there when WMF was the vision for it came forth. And Bill helped write the bylaws for that for this organization that you're pastor and we're all a part of. And it's what was meeting this week. But we went back to a celebration that they had for Brother Brown. And when we were under his ministry, we were spirit-filled, just got spirit-filled. And it was in the 60s when a wave of the spirit hit. And we were just like little frolicking colts. We didn't know anything, you know. Well, for 6 years, I mean, we were drilled and hammered and sometimes slapped and corrected, because Brother Brown in those days was a pretty hard taskmaster. And when we left there, God spoke to my heart and he says, Mary, being in this church was like being in the Marines. And you know how you could strangle that, what do you call him? The T.I. You could just strangle him. And sometimes, I've seen this on TV and heard talk to men that were in the military, you would just want to strangle them. They were so tough on you. And God said, Mary, being in this church has been like being in Marines. This was your boot camp, your training. And he said, God said to me, but when you leave this place and you go out in the battle, folks, when you leave this place and you go out in the battle, what this pastor has preached and this one's preached and what we've preached and others have preached in this place, they will have taught you how to stay alive in the battle and how not to get shot down. And what Brother Bill is saying this morning is great deception is going to cover the land. It has already begun everywhere. And you can't believe every TV preacher and what they preach and teach. You can't believe them. And you check what you hear by the Word of God and by your spirit. Your spirit should bear witness. And we were in a place not too long ago in another state, in a big church, a man that was recognized by everyone. And when we left there, I told Bill, I said, there's something wrong here. There's a wrong spirit here. And I couldn't put my finger on it. They'll say the right thing, and then maybe even do the right thing. But your spirit doesn't bear witness, then you go before the Lord and don't become critical. But I believe God is giving us a warning ahead of time that there's something about to happen in Dallas. But if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in the fanfare. And you'll get caught off guard. So I thank God for the men of God that God's brought in our life that's kept us alive, and they sometimes got onto us. When Bill wrote he wrote this book, and he said 10 years ago, but I believe the book is needed for now, for this time. But when he wrote this book, he took it to Brother Hilton Sutton. And Brother Sutton read it, and he said, Bill, you need to rewrite this book. You can't print it like it is. You'll be sued if you do, he said. And he gave him some instructions. Well, if you take a book you write to your Father and the Lord, you want him to be excited that you wrote it. But that was not the case. So if you ever come to a place that a man of God that you know and esteem, if he corrects you, take it with graciousness and thank him and apply it to your life and go before the Lord and ask the Lord to apply it to your life. And don't be rebellious. We have a lot of people in the church world that do not want to submit to anyone or anything. And we heard one of the best sermons we've ever heard the other night that Brother Barclay, God has put older men and women in the Lord in your life to keep you from getting in deception and going astray. And so be excited that God is about to move by His Spirit, but also be diligent
and vigilant to pray and study the Word and pray like you've never prayed before. God bless you.
One last remark. She alluded to the fact that Brother Barclay spoke, and he spoke on fathers, which none of us knew what he was going to say, but he began to relate how some of his fathers in the Lord had ministered to him, and he said something that Brother Sutton did that he never did to me, thank God. He said, Brother Sutton called him, said, Mark, said, yes, sir. Said, have you been taking a stupid pill?
He evidently said something.
I don't. He said, well, I didn't think so. He said, well, so and so and so and so. He said, oh, yes, sir. But he now has a multinational, international ministry today, and has, I know, of 65 ministers who look to him as their pastor. And I tell you, he is not bashful about telling them what they need to do. And he learned that from his fathers in the Lord, because he was under Lester Summerall and then John Osteen, and they tell him the truth. Boy, I'm telling you, this is the way it is.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So when your pastors tell you this, listen. It's not for their good, but for your good.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
They're not here for you. I mean, they're not here for themselves. They're here for you. God hath assigned them, you know. And so be diligent to listen to what they have to say. Not only listen, but then put it in action.
Amen.
In that area. Amen?
Amen?
God bless you. Thank you for having us. And,
yes.
And I wanted this to be really great, but it turned out what the Lord wanted.